As we see, the reading was, well, the same story as we heard Anne speak to the kids. And the title for this morning I've given, Where is the King? Because we see in verse 2, the verse highlighted up there, that is the question the wise men were asking. It says, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And in other words, we see also King Herod asking, where is he? Now, this is a well-known part of the Christmas story. And we know how it goes. We just heard Anne speaking to the kids. But there's something that struck me as I was reading this passage. And I just saw there are two responses to the birth of this king. The wise men, they responded, they were brought to worship him. Whereas King Herod, he sought to kill him. Two completely opposite responses. So here we have the wise men, and we told they had an idea who they were seeking. They knew he would, this baby boy is a king, born King of the Jews. But they also knew this king wasn't just an earthly king. This king was one to be worshipped. At the time of his birth, his star arose. I don't know of any other king where at his birth a star came up and light had come. Now these wise men saw this bright light in the sky, and they sought after him. They obeyed God so that they could worship this king. The response of these wise men, they really amazed me as I was reading this. Now, and I've looked past this too often, but there is something amazing here. Now, many scholars and historians, they speculate about the journey the wise men took, how long it took them, and possible hardships they may have encountered traveling from the east, because it's not an easy journey. But this amazes me and puts me, my life to shame, perhaps all of us here, is that the wise man had one desire in following his star. It is clear they desired to worship this king. To worship him. They desired him so much, they sought the star until they found him. Okay, we are here this morning. What are we doing here? We're just going through the motions of a Sunday morning? Or do you truly desire the king just as they did? Desired to worship him. What is this desire of your life? I don't believe any of us here can match up to these wise men. Where they say, where is the king? We have come to worship him. Is that what our heart is speaking right now? I want to know God, the King of Kings, because I want to worship him. I want to meet him and fall at his feet. We're just singing about bowing our knees to him. Is this the desire of your heart? You want to bring your all to him, offer it to him, and worship him? Or does all this desire for God sound ridiculous to you? I had a friend who once was given the opportunity to meet Queen Elizabeth. In some ways, he was very excited to meet her. But if he came to me, and said to me he was excited to meet the queen because he wanted to give her presents and worship her, I would have laughed at him. I would ridicule him. I would be thinking, what is so great about the queen that you want to worship her? You want to give her gifts? What's so great about her? However, there must be something great about the King Jesus. The wise men, they stood in front of King Herod, but they spoke to him like he was any other man, because there wasn't something great about him. But when they came to meet baby Jesus, the King, to them, it would be ridiculous not to bow down and worship him. There is something amazing about this King. Have you ever asked why the wise men traveled from the east to come and meet Jesus? Ever asked why Herod was so disturbed about this King and wanted to kill him? Or have you ever asked why his disciples left their fathers and mothers and wives and children to follow him? Or why so many Christians have suffered and faced persecution, torture, and death for Jesus' sake? There must be something about this Jesus. The last couple of months we have been looking at some verses that tell us who Jesus is. And one of them was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it reads, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This child was no ordinary king. He is God. Another verse we looked at says, "He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." This is who the wise men longed to meet. What do people say about Jesus today? Some say, "Oh, he's a great teacher." They can quote some of his teachings. Some say he was a kind, peaceful, compassionate man. He taught that humans can love each other and put differences aside. That's great. But Jesus is much, much more than that. Now, if this is all Jesus was, a great teacher, a moral man, a compassionate man, etc., it certainly would not bring people to want to worship him or even die in his name. About 3 weeks ago, I was invited to a birthday gathering. Pretty much the whole evening, everyone in this party, we were in this same room, in this one room, and everyone talking about their lives themselves and their experiences and how good their work is or how bad it's going, criticizing people and gossiping. And then there came a point in the evening, someone asked me about what I'd be doing for Christmas. So I was moved from within, and I took the opportunity and began to speak of Jesus. And I raised my voice so that the whole room, because everyone was there, could hear what I had to say about Jesus. And I said no more than 3 sentences. And one by one, people began to leave the room. After spending the whole party there, just mentioning Jesus, people didn't want to hear anymore. When I got to about 5 sentences, there was only 2 of us left in the room, myself and the person who asked me about my Christmas. Just the mention of Jesus and the gospel, it affects people. At this birthday gathering, people were affected by being offended. "How dare you talk to us about Jesus?" Talking about themselves was obviously far more important to them. On the other hand, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a Christian woman speak about Jesus. And just mentioning his name, her face would light up. Just the mere mention of his name brought out love and joy from within her. Who is this king that so greatly affects and transforms people? On the one hand, people just can't listen about him. They can't wait to get away from you. On the other hand, people just love speaking of him and knowing him. Now this Jesus, he is the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. All of us here this morning are sinful and have wicked, rebellious hearts. Look around. If I were to ask you to just give me one negative point about each person in this room, you know. I'm sure it would not take you too long to think of something bad to say about someone else or something to criticize them about. Now look at yourself. How far would you run away and try and hide if all your thoughts, the thoughts in your mind and desires of your heart were made known to everyone here today? I would be the first one to hide. Well, God knows it all. Every intimate thought, every action you have done behind closed doors, every moral and unlawful desires, every motives and intentions in your life, God knows it. Now, we are all guilty. We need to be cleansed and changed. It is for this reason the King, Jesus, affects people so much. Some are moved to worship him, and sadly, many reject him. But to the wise men, Jesus came to save them and to rule their lives. But to King Herod, Jesus came to expose him and dethrone him. How does Jesus affect you? Are you brought to repent and worship him? Or are you offended at being shown you are evil and guilty? Speaking to someone the other day, she was telling me what she thought of Jesus. And like, you know, most people, she went on saying he's a compassionate man who loved the sick, the poor, the hungry. He took care of them. All she was saying seemed positive. Until I mentioned that the reason Jesus came was because we're all sinners, including her. Until I mentioned we all need to recognize our guilt and repent and believe in him. She did not like hearing me say that. She shouted back, "I'm not guilty of anything." Oh, God so loved the world. He sees the sins of every individual soul, yours and mine. Don't try and tell me you're not a sinner. Don't try and tell me that you're not guilty. I won't believe you. No, God abhors sin. He hates sinners and the workers of iniquity with a passion. And yet, for this reason, he sent his son, Jesus, the King, and him. In him, God displayed his love. The good news is that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is the good news. Through him, we can be saved. The King, born in a stable, the good shepherd led like a lamb to the slaughter. The Son of God bruised by his father. This is why the wise man followed his star and obeyed God. This is why they desire to worship him. This is my story. So 4 years ago, God began to reveal to me his light. And me, a proud young man, I thought myself to be the nicest man in the world. No one has anything bad to say about me. Me, a selfish young man, it was all about me and for me. I wanted to do what I wanted. An unbelieving hypocrite. I went to church, I read my Bible, I prayed my prayers, thinking to myself I'd achieved my ticket to heaven. I spoke of Jesus, I knew of him, but I had no desire for him. I didn't want to worship him. It was all talk. It was my way of achieving heaven. But by God's grace, his light shone in the darkness of my heart. And Jesus standing there before me. I tell you, I was offended. It hurt. But soon I was broken. By his light, his purity, his glory, his honor, by his cross, he exposed me. I began to see my deceitfulness, the deceitfulness of my heart, my evil deeds, my rebellion against the Most High God. I realized I deserve his anger to be upon me. I deserve to be thrown into the abyss and have a lake of fire poured on me over and over again. That is what my sin is. God hates it. But this king took it all upon himself. This king pierced for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. He was crushed by the Father in heaven because he loved me. This is the effect Jesus now has in my life. It took a long time for me to see why the wise man wanted to worship Jesus so much. But praise the Lord, now I know. Firsthand, the joy of knowing Jesus, of worshiping him. You ask me, where is the king? Gladly I can say he lives within my heart. Where is the king? He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. How wonderful this king is. The wise man needed Jesus. I need Jesus. We all need him. I ask you this, where is the king? In your life, reigning in you, or nowhere really? I urge you to seek him and seek him and don't stop seeking him. Now may he guide you to him through his cross. Now behold God, behold Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Look to him. We said earlier, the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen.